May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to today's podcast. This is Father John Zilsdorf. I was recently going through some old books and found a slim volume named The Austerlitz Selection from the Latin Fathers, edited by Joseph Crahan of Heythrop College. It was compiled chiefly for seminarians, especially late vocations, at Campion College, Austerlitz. That's a Jesuit formation house in the Archdiocese of Westminster that closed up in 2004. The 1949 preface praises the great classical authors such as Caesar and Cicero and Livy and Virgil, and yet it insists that Christian writing shows a different kind of beauty. Pagans, it says, wrote with a studied grace, Christians with passionate conviction. And this little volume includes selections from Ambrose and Augustine and Tertullian and Vincent of Lerins and Jerome and others you will recognize. It occurred to me that I might offer a podcast of the first reading and see how it goes. Some of you get patristic readings and the office of readings in the Liturgy of the Hours, but do you hear them? That's another question. There are 42 brief readings in this book by these patristic authors from late antiquity. I propose to read an English translation and make some comments, and then read the Latin. And so we begin today with the Acts of the Chilitan Martyrs. It's a brief but exceptionally important text from the late 2nd century. The document records the interrogations and sentencing and the execution of a small group of Christians from Chilium in Roman North Africa. They were tried at Carthage before the proconsul Saturninus in 180 AD during the reign of the emperor Commodus. They are in the province of Africa Proconsularis, which was among the empire's most prestigious provinces, and it supplied Rome with a lot of grain, and its proconsul exercised full criminal jurisdiction, including the jus gladii. He could put people to the sword. Saturninus acts entirely within that authority. Now, the text presents itself as a court transcript. The questions and answers are terse and formulaic, shaped by Roman legal procedures of the time rather than by theology. The restraint defines the work in a lot of ways. Saturninus appears as a conscientious magistrate. He doesn't seem like a fanatic. He offers opportunities to conform. He proposes delay. He frames the issue in terms of loyalty to Roman civic religion. His demand that the accused swear by the genius of the emperor reflects standard administrative practice and not something personal. Now, a little history is needed here. The text is of first importance as the earliest surviving Christian document written in Latin. Its language is practical and administrative. It's closely aligned with the spoken Latin of the Roman courts, especially in Africa. Theologically, I said it's very restrained. The martyrs offer no elaborate defense. They insist calmly on conscience and allegiance to God. Scripture appears only in the mention of the books and the letters of Paul, but the single detail provides early evidence for the circulation and the authority of Pauline writings. Literarily, the account lacks hagiographical embellishment, and so we don't have any visions or miracles or anything like that in it, like later Acts of Martyrs do. Even the death sentence is recorded in very terse, plain legal terms. Scholars, therefore, judge the text to be either a lightly edited court record or a very faithful redaction of one. Now, you will want to tune your ear for some things. You will hear about the genius of the emperor, which does not refer to the emperor's intelligence. In Roman religion, the genius of the emperor was the emperor's personal divine tutelary spirit, a kind of a life force that accompanied and protected his authority. And every free Roman male was believed to possess a genius. So people had to acknowledge and offer to the genius of the emperor rather than necessarily than directly to the emperor himself. And public acts like offering incense or swearing an oath by the emperor's genius expressed civic loyalty because they were maintaining the Pax Deorum, the peace of the gods, a harmony between the gods and the Roman state. It's like a contractual agreement, often summarized by do ut des, I give so that you may give. This is where the proper ritual secured divine favor and social stability. And so the Romans saw people who would refuse to participate in those actions as doing something directly against the Pax Deorum and threatening the contractual relationship between God and the state, and therefore they were seen as traitors. It was like treason. But of course, for Christians, that was a religious act. To swear by the emperor's genius meant invoking some sacred power other than God, so like a demon or something, and Pachamama, who knows. What Romans understood as civic obligation, Christians recognized as cultic worship, making it absolutely necessary to refuse to do, even when they openly affirmed obedience to civil authority. And this is what got a lot of Christians in hot water with the state. So let's get into our reading. It's a transcript, so there's a brief introduction, and then it goes back and forth like a dialogue. Spiratus said, and then Saturnino said, and then Vestia said, and Donata said, and I won't try to do too much with the voices, but I'll try to make it clear who's talking. In the consulship of Praesens for the second time, and of Claudianus on the 16th day before the calends of August, when Spiratus, Narzalus, Cittinus, Donata, Secunda, and Vestia had been brought into the secretarium at Carthage, it's like the courtroom, the proconsul Saturninus said, "You may obtain the clemency of our lord the emperor if you return to a sound mind." Spiratus said, "We have never done evil. We have given no service to injustice. We have never spoken curses. But when we were ill-treated, we gave thanks. For this reason, we respect our emperor." The proconsul Saturninus said, "We too are religious, and our religion is simple. We swear by the genius of our lord the emperor, and we pray for his welfare, something which you also ought to do." Spiratus said, "If you will lend your ears in calmness, I will speak the mystery of simplicity." Saturninus said, "To one who introduces evils, I will not lend my ears to matters concerning our sacred rites, rather swear by the genius of our lord the emperor." Spiratus said, "I do not recognize the authority of this age, but instead I serve that God whom no human being has seen nor can see with these eyes. I have committed no theft, but if I purchase anything, I pay the tax, because I acknowledge my lord, the king of kings, and the emperor of all nations." The proconsul Saturninus said to the others, "Cease to hold this opinion." Spiratus said, "It is an evil opinion to commit murder or to speak false testimony." The proconsul Saturninus said, "Do not become participants in this madness." Cittinus said, "We have no one else whom we fear except our Lord God who is in heaven." Donata said, "Honor to Caesar as to Caesar. Fear, however, to God." Vestia said, "I am a Christian." Secunda said, "What I am, that I wish to be." The proconsul Saturninus said to Spiratus, "Do you persist in being a Christian?" Spiratus said, "I am a Christian." And all agreed with him. The proconsul Saturninus said, "Do you wish time for deliberation?" Spiratus said, "In a matter so just, there is no deliberation." The proconsul Saturninus said, "What are the things in your chest?" Spiratus said, "Books and letters of Paul, a righteous man." The proconsul said, "Have a delay of 30 days and reconsider." Spiratus again said, "I am a Christian." And all agreed with him. The proconsul read the sentence from the tablet. "Since Spiratus, Narzalus, Chitinus Donata Vestia Secunda and the others have confessed that they live according to the Christian rite, and since, although the opportunity was offered to them to return to the customs of the Romans, they stubbornly persevered, it is decided that they will be punished by the sword. Spiratus said, "We give thanks to God." Narzalus said, "Today we are martyrs in heaven. Thanks be to God." The proconsul Saturninus ordered, through the herald, that Spiratus, Narzalus, Chitinus, Veturius, Felix, Aquilinus, Laetantius, Januaria, Generosa, Vestia, Donata, and Secunda be led away. And all said, "Thanks be to God." And thus all together were crowned with martyrdom, and they reign with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for all ages. Amen. Thus, my English rendering of the acts of these martyrs, a moving moment, terse as it may be. Now, a decision awaits me because this text comes from a Roman court record of the late 2nd century. It really should be read as spoken Roman Latin, not as later liturgical Latin. It predates the ecclesiastical pronunciation tradition. It really belongs to the world of administrative and juridical speech. And so that an Italianate ecclesiastical pronunciation would be historically anachronistic, though a lot easier to do because that's what I'm used to doing. And a fully reconstructed academic classical pronunciation, it risks sounding a little artificial, and I'm out of practice. It's what I specialized in studying in classics in grad school. So a restrained, late classical pronunciation, consonants pronounced in the classical manner and stress observed carefully and being careful with the diphthongs and the rhythm following, kind of a natural prose and whatever. The aim is to let the text sound a little more like it would have been in the Roman courtyard rather than what you might hear in church at the traditional Latin Mass. So let's give this a stab. It's been a while. Presente bis et Claudiano consulibus, sedicim calendas Augustas Carthagine in secretario impositis Sperato, Narzalo et Chitino Donata Secunda Vestia, Saturninus proconsul dixit, potestis indulgentiam domni nostri imperatoris promereri si ad bona mentem redeatis. Speratus dixit, nunquam malefecimus, inquitati nullam operam praebuimus, nunquam malediximus, sed malea cepi gratias egimus, propter quod imperatorem nostrum observamus. Saturninus proconsul dixit, et nos religiosi sumus, et simplex est religio nostra, et juramus per genium domni nostri imperatoris, et pro salute eius supplicamus, quod et vos quoque facere debetis. Speratus dixit, si tranquillas praebueris aures tuas dico mysterium simplicitatis. Saturninus dixit, initianti tibi malade sacris nostris aures non praebebo, sed potius jura per genium domni nostri imperatoris. Speratus dixit, ego imperium huius saeculi non conosco, sed magis illi Deo servio quem nemo hominum videt ne guideri his oculis potest, furtum non feci, sed quidem mero telonem reddo, quia cognosto domnum meum regem regum et imperatorem omnium gentium. Saturninus proconsul dixit caeteris, de sineti huius es persuasionis. Speratus dixit, mala est persuasio homicidium facere, falsum testimonium dicere. Saturninus proconsul dixit, nolite huius dementia esse participes. Chitinus dixit, Nos non habemus alium quem timeamus, nisi Domnum Deum nostrum qui est in caelis. Donata dixit, honorem Caesari quasi Caesari, timorem autem Deo. Vestia dixit, Christiana sum. Secunda dixit, quod sum, ipsud volo esse. Saturninus proconsul sperato dixit, perseveras Christianus? Speratus dixit, Christianus sum. Et cum eo omnes consenserunt. Saturninus proconsul dixit, numquid ad deliberandum spatium vultis? Speratus dixit, in re tam justa nulla est deliberatio. Saturninus proconsul dixit, quae sunt res in capsa vestra? Speratus dixit, libri et epistulae, Pauli, viri justi. Saturninus proconsul dixit, moram triginta dierum habete et record demini. Speratus iterum dixit, Christianus sum. Et cum eo consenserunt, Saturninus proconsul decretum ex tabella recitavit. Speratum, Narzalum, Citirum, donatam, vestiam, secundam, et ceteros ritu Christianos e vivere confessos, coniam oblata sibi facultate ad Romanorum mores redeundi, obstinanter perseveraerunt, glario, animadverti placet. Speratus dixit, Deo gratias agimus. Narzalus dixit, hodie martires in caelis sumus, Deo gratias. Saturninus proconsul per preconem diciusit, speratum Narzalum citinum, Veturium, Felicem, Aquilinum, Litantium, Januariam, Generosam, Vestiam, Donatam, Secundam, Duciusi. Universi dixerunt, Deo gratias. Et o ita omnes simul martyrio coronati sunt, et regnant cum Patre et Filio et Spiritu Sancto per omnia saecula saeculorum. Amen. Thus the Acts of the Chilitan Martyrs from about 180 AD in North Africa, which I think remains strikingly relevant for a church again living in very strained relationships with civil authorities around the world. There are so many more martyrs in the 20th and 21st century than there were really in the ancient world. There are a couple of books I could recommend by Robert Royal, who sometimes you see with Raymond Arroyo and Father Murray, my good friend. He's written a book on 20th century martyrs, and just a recent one also on 21st century martyrs. And the numbers are shocking, and the places too where the martyrdoms take place are not necessarily where you might think. So the importance of these ancient acts are not so much in their, you know, the drama or whatever, but in the clarity and the restraint with which they present Christian witness under real pressure. They don't reject the civil order. They're not posturing as rebels. Speratus affirms respect for the emperor and obedience to law, and he pays his taxes. But what they refuse is the state's claim to demand that they offer incense or swear by the genius of the emperor. That crosses a boundary between civic loyalty and false worship. And the distinction was crucial in an age when, even today, when the church is pressured to give in to acceptable political consensus, as it were. And so the Chilitan martyrs show that obedience to state has limits, and those limits are defined by conscience formed by faith. And the acts insist that Christian identity is irreducibly public, isn't it, right? Christianus sum is a confession with consequences, and it's a public thing. They're not condemned for private belief. They're condemned for a way of life. And so in an age inclined to tolerate a religion only as a private sentiment, remember how that whole business a few years back, it was really strong. It's maybe coming back a little differently now in the last year or so. But the witness of this Shillitan Martyrs recalls that fidelity to Christ takes visible and sometimes a very costly form. I'm reminded of, as I say this, with something we can compare the declaration of the martyrs of Abitine a couple of hundred years later, as a matter of fact. You remember that Bishop Athanasius Schneider wrote a book about communion, about getting rid of communion in the hand, called Sine Dominico Non Possumus. These early Christians said that without Dominico, without the Eucharist, non possumus, we simply can't go on. We can't live, we can't be who we are without Dominico, without the Sunday worship, without the Eucharist, which they were being prosecuted for. Christian identity is inseparable from communal worship, too. So I think there is a lot to be said for reading these ancient acts of the martyrs. And I would draw another point from it. Just as Schneider, Athanasius Bishop Schneider does, he repeatedly calls for the restoration of reverence in the liturgy, including reception of Holy Communion directly in the tongue, recovering of ad orientem worship. You know, we should be kneeling to receive Holy Communion, shouldn't we, on the tongue? And, you know, like the great liturgist Klaus Gamber, who had such an influence on Joseph Ratzinger, said that the single most damaging thing to Catholic identity that happened after the council was turning our altars around. But in any event, you know, these practices, these traditional practices, Schneider contends, and I contend, safeguard the Church's confession of faith by embodying it in our worship. We are our rites, and where worship is weakened, identity and conscience follows. Where worship is ordered to God, the Church retains strength and the ability to endure pressure with clarity and peace. And with that, I will get out of your ears. Thank you very much for your attention. If you've made it this far, please pray for me as I will for you. This is Father John Zollstorff.